Slumping sales, store closures, and lots of unknowns. It's been a rough few months for American retailers, but there's a bright spot, and it's overseas.
Globally, a lot of companies are still struggling, but here in China, we're maybe several months ahead of other countries, including the US, in terms of recovering from COVID.
We'll look at the American brands cashing in on China's reopening. Plus, the S&P 500 starts the trading day after a near-record close. What's got traders so excited?
They seem to think that the economy will bounce back, that everything will be better at some point in the near future.
It's Thursday, August 13th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. The latest numbers show the daily tally of new U.S. coronavirus cases rising again to nearly 56,000. This follows a recent dip nationally. We're also seeing an uptick in parts of the rural Midwest, places that had seen few cases. Those numbers drive another key metric we're watching today, jobless claims. New weekly unemployment filings are expected to fall slightly, but they'll remain high at around 1.1 million. The numbers are worth watching now that the $600 a week in supplemental benefits has expired. There's also the fear of a new wave of layoffs as pandemic loans meant to save jobs start to run out. The Wall Street Journal's Eric Morath covers the Labor Department.
So the Paycheck Protection Program funds for many businesses have run out, and we've talked to workers who have been, in some cases, laid off for a second time when those funds expired. And that could be a factor we see that's keeping claims at historically high levels. It could be that some of the workers that are filing for claims in recent weeks, this may be their second, in some cases we've even heard the third time where they've been called back and then let go again. As some of these funds expire, also as states introduce new restrictions or renewed restrictions.
Just ahead, the jobless report is just one factor that could move markets today. We'll look at what else is at play, including politics, coming up. Investors want to know if the market's rally can push further today. U.S. markets saw a strong rise yesterday. The S&P 500 closed just short of the record it set before the coronavirus slammed Wall Street. Markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff looks at what's fueling this current round of optimism for traders.
They seem to think that the economy will bounce back, that everything will be better at some point in the near future. And so you see them finding that in hopes for a vaccine. There's still the expectation that there will be some passage, some compromise between Republicans and Democrats in a stimulus bill. But those two factors could risk, you know, being corrected within market expectations if all of a sudden either we don't get a vaccine as quickly as people are hoping, or if the talks between the Republicans and Democrats keep dragging out. And so we're seeing things continue to edge higher, but we're not quite certain, you know, whether it's sustainable.
After a quick break with lockdown strangling sales at home, we'll look at how American companies are making up for it with sales in China. Taiwan's president says she wants to begin talks with the U.S. on a free trade deal. The move is part of a bigger effort to strengthen Taiwan's relationship with Washington while resisting Beijing. Some of the Trump administration have previously pushed for trade talks with Taiwan as a way to pressure Beijing. Wall Street Journal senior editor Bob Davis says a potential deal wouldn't just be about economics.
I think a free trade deal between the U.S. and Taiwan, even just talks of a free trade agreement between the two, is just another way in which the Trump administration is looking to tweak China. I mean, China looks at Taiwan as a renegade province. It looks at it as a place that will someday become part of the mainland. And for their point of view, this is a provocative action. From the U.S. point of view, it's a way to show it supports the Taiwanese government and its democratic development.
The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative didn't immediately respond to a request for comment on the latest speech by Taiwan's president. China's market is proving to be fertile ground for American businesses right now. Many companies that are losing sales in the U.S. because of pandemic shutdowns are finding that Chinese consumers are buying now that their country has largely emerged from lockdown. The Wall Street Journal's Trevor Moss covers business in China. He joins us now from Shanghai. Trevor, thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Trevor, looking at the numbers, some very well-known brands are having some big success overseas. What are you seeing?
Well, globally, a lot of companies are still struggling. But here in China, we're maybe several months ahead of other countries, including the U.S., in terms of recovering from COVID. Consumption has picked up more strongly than a lot of analysts thought it would. Some were saying we might not see any growth till next year, but actually consumption here is now growing and is looking quite strong. And a lot of brands in the luxury segment in particular, you'll have been doing very well indeed. Luxury sales have rebounded very strongly in China. Also, some clothing and sportswear and footwear brands that the sector overall is still struggling a bit in China, but some of the well-known US brands have done very well. Skechers, Nike, they both had a very strong second quarter in China.
Let's talk about some of those brands. These are names we would recognize. Where is the challenge? What sectors are not having such an easy time?
The one that's really still struggling a lot is restaurants and cafes. People are still not going out and socializing and eating out the way they were. Part of that is that a lot of restaurants here, they cater to office workers at lunchtime. And still many people are working from home, choosing not to come into the city every day. So we saw Starbucks, their numbers are still off quite a bit. McDonald's, I think, was sounding quite pessimistic about how soon they would recover. So companies like that are still not where they were this time last year. That's the one sector that's still really down.
China has seen a bit of a rebound, especially in consumer spending. How long do you think this will last? Or is this perhaps just a short-term jolt?
Well, the million-dollar question is, will we see more outbreaks and will there be more lockdowns? As things stand, analysts are saying that the recovery is going to be quite robust, that things are going to keep picking up through the next two quarters, and then 2021 will be very strong in China. But of course, the big question is not just will there be more outbreaks in China, but what will happen globally. So there are a lot of unknown quantities, but right now it does look like China is bouncing back and it's going to be sustainable.
And Trevor, we've seen political tension between the United States and China. But from a business economic standpoint, China is a market that is still very important for U.S. and North American retailers.
Well, exactly. That's what we've seen. I mean, these companies, their Q2 results overall were pretty grim in many cases. But for so many of them, China was this bright spot. We do have these political tensions, but so far that hasn't really spilled over into the commercial realm. American brands haven't faced any kind of boycott so far. Chinese consumers still love American brands for the most part. That's the big risk that these American companies face if tensions do keep worsening. But for now, these companies are still doing well in China, and they need China more than ever because China's where the growth is at the moment.
Trevor Moss reporting from Shanghai. Trevor, great to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you.
And finally, the curtains remain down on Broadway. But while we wait for live theater to return, some shows are jumping from the stage to your screen.
I offer my goodbyes without compromise.
A number from the musical Diana, based on the life of the late princess. The producers now say the show will stream on Netflix next year. Its Broadway opening was delayed until next year because of the pandemic. It's part of a growing trend of Broadway shows running on digital platforms. Disney Plus is currently streaming Hamilton. And that's what's news for Thursday. We're back tonight with an updated episode. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.